Thanks, Brother Caleb. I love that song. One of my favorites. Appreciate it very much. Happy New Year! Good way to start the 2023 as a church. Amen. Can't beat that. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Been praying about what to preach on a New Year's Day. And there's a lot of things you want to preach, but I just kind of wait till what God wants me to preach. So this was it. And so if you're able, let's stand. I'm going to read a real lengthy section. Now we're going to read one verse. I'm kidding. So verse number 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's all read that together, okay? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Lord, thank you for the word this morning and a powerful passage here, Lord. Sometimes challenging to apply. Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Give me that unction from the Holy Spirit because we want to hear from you today. Lord, I need you. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning that does not know Christ, I pray that today they'd come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Lord, you knew who would be here today, and I pray that you'd have the message hit each one of us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, there's a segment of our society that wants everybody to be bad, to be feel bad and have, you know, the news and a lot of our government wants doom and gloom on everything. And it's difficult. In my flesh, we always, you know, someone maybe upsets us. We want to say, well, if you're miserable, then we're happy, you know. But it's the wrong attitude as a Christian, you know. Believers, we should always rejoice. Regardless whether the world is moving along down a very terrible pathway, we know where it's headed in our country and really in this world, we can rejoice. You say, how can we rejoice? Because God's in charge. And he's moving his plan out just as he wanted it to be. The many moods of this world, they're affected by their sin. And so that up and ebb and flow of the world, you just let, you know, them do their thing. But I can rejoice because I have Christ. This past week, this wasn't originally my message, but as I was studying this, then, you know, as a preacher, God sends you through some circumstances for illustrations. I've learned that years ago. And so we had a strange week. Most of you knew we flew out last Sunday night, and we were on Southwest Airlines. Now, I will say on a blessing, I used flyer mileage, so I booked flyer mileage coming back on American. Praise the Lord for that. I'll just make it brief. We got stranded in Phoenix. We were going to Salt Lake to our daughter's house for Christmas, and our flight was delayed here. It was crazy leaving. I should have known something was going on. And we got to Phoenix, and because we were delayed, we missed our flight. And it was probably the last airplane Southwest left Phoenix with to Salt Lake. And so we were stranded there for 2 days, couldn't get our luggage. To give you an idea of what the luggage situation was, in the carousel where the luggage comes down there in Phoenix, they had luggage aside backed up from here to that wall for about 2 football fields. And I found out that wasn't all. Our luggage wasn't there. They said, well, there's also 200 carts over in a warehouse full of... But praise the Lord, we had a good time. We had a couple days. Well, Brother Randolph and his wife are good friends, longtime friends. And so I called up Brother Terry, and he came and picked us up, and we had a couple good days with them. Weird Christmas. And then and the flights were all canceled, so we had to rent a car to drive up to Salt Lake. And our luggage finally arrived on Wednesday, I think it was, in Salt Lake. But anyway, in all of it, you know, I can look back and laugh, and we can laugh at that time because we, you know, I told Brother Terry We were going to supper one night in his car, and I said, you know, I was thinking a few weeks ago, we're flying through Phoenix. Too bad we don't have a longer layover. We could spend some time with them. And he said, you got your wish, okay? And, you know, but you never know. As a Christian life, understand, God knew what was going on. He's never surprised by things. What he wants is our reaction to be in the right spirit. Alexander White, the great old preacher, wrote one of my favorite books on Bible characters. He was a Scottish preacher, and he always began his public prayer before he preached with an expression of gratitude. And that particular morning there in Scotland, it was dreary, rainy, miserable, and cold. And the congregation were all talking, wondering how he's going to have an expression of praise in his prayer. And he said this, "We thank thee, O Lord, that it is not always like this." You know, the devil works hard at discouraging Christians. I mean, if he can discourage you, then the testimony you have will be bad. And he wants us to lose our joy. He creates multiple hardships and tribulations in a Christian life that maybe no one else is facing, just like Job, so that he can discourage you and leave a bad testimony. He increases the pressures on us sometimes to put us on edge before something breaks down. Interesting, the Greek word for rejoice is the Greek word kairo. And kind of like Philadelphia, they named that the city of brotherly love to deceive people, so they think it's a great city. Cairo, Egypt, it's a place of rejoicing. I don't know about that. But, you know, obviously they encourage people to come to the city. Now, I love Philippians. It's one of my favorite epistles. And it could be said that message of rejoicing is really throughout that book. And it's more amazing when we remember as Paul's writing this, he's in prison. And if anybody had a right to be down the dumps, it was the Apostle Paul. But no one there in the prison to cheer him, no one to fellowship with. No, there's uncertainty of his outcome, and eventually he's put to death. But repeatedly, he encourages us and the readers here to rejoice. Looking back, chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I mean, finally, you want to know the truth? Rejoice in the Lord. And then he comes here in chapter 4, verse 4, and he says it two times. Rejoice in the Lord. And if you didn't get it, I want to tell you again, rejoice. You know? Alexander McLaren said this. He says, Christian gladness is an important element in Christian duty, and the difficulty and necessity of it are indicated by the urgent repetition of this injunction. I mean, it's the urgency. Hey, you need to rejoice. You say, well, you don't know what's going on in my life. No, but God does. And the Bible says to rejoice. I really believe this is if every Christian practiced rejoicing in 2023, the world would wonder and more be curious about what's going on in your life and in this church's life. The testimony of a rejoicing place. People are looking for that. They want to find that. Interesting notice about rejoicing in this passage, it's a command. You say, now wait a minute, preacher, how can you command rejoicing? How can a person be commanded, you rejoice? Well, it really has to do with where your desires are. Someone has said, joy is the fruit that we gather from the presence of something we have desired. You know, if you had a bill to pay and you didn't have any money to pay for it, and you went to the mailbox and there was an unusual letter there and there was the amount of the check for the exact amount of your bill, you'd be rejoicing because your desires had been met, right? You know, desires were supplied. Hasn't God said something about that he would supply all our needs? Don't you think that God knows exactly what you need and what is good for you and that he will meet the desires of your heart if your heart is set on him? Every blessing we have is because of God. And he's thinking about you, you know. The very hand of God. Man, the day I got saved, what? I can't have any more than that. I mean, that's the greatest blessing in my life. That I got saved, I'm on the way to heaven, it's all settled, you know. If we'd remind ourselves every morning of all the blessings of God that he's provided for you, we'd have a different viewpoint for the rest of the day. You know, God's way ahead of us. God sees, and this is so beyond my understanding, but God sees all time like it's right there. Does that blow your mind? I mean, he controls time. He's way ahead of you, what's going on tomorrow and the rest of the week and the coming year. And so if you're one of his children, don't you think that he can kind of take care of those situations? Shouldn't you rejoice that it's in his hands, not yours? I mean, I love my wife, but I'm glad my life's not in her hands. And there's a lot of good people here. I love you, but I'm glad my life is not in your hands. I would be a little nervous about it, but with God I can rejoice. Yeah. And so this he says, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, this means we should always think about fruit. Because the Lord, he provides fruit in your life. Interesting, the book of Philippians deals with this subject in an unusual manner. I'm going to look at something here in a minute that will probably shock you, but as human beings, we tend to think about garbage. And something happens, we think the worst is going to be the outcome. Don't look at me that way. I've hit a chord. Look back in chapter 3. Years ago, I discovered this, and I go, wow. Kind of hits home. Verse 7. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. You know, it's junk. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. All the things of this world, they're just gratis. But don't meditate on those things. Notice he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but, what does that say? Dung, that I may win Christ. If you're meditating on the things of this world, that's like having your mind, this is embarrassing, thinking about manure. Because that's the value of it. If your desires are set on the Lord, then it'll affect your life. You know, things come and go. You know? If you thought about the things of the Lord, it's like thinking about fruit. Because God bears fruit for us. Fruit is healthy and sweet and wonderful. Your kids may struggle with broccoli. But they'll be happy when you hand them a peach. You know, it's fruit. You know. See, Satan pushes garbage on us. You know, you're not getting this. At Christmas, your kids just got a bunch of toys. It's been a week now. They're probably playing with their old toys. It was so great at first, and it didn't take long for them to go through it. That's how the things of this world are. They don't bring joy and happiness. We think I got to get this new gadget, this new thing, and I got to get the new iPhone. No, I got to get the. And when you get it, it's just junk. It's just manure. Your desires and joy should be in the Lord. That's what brings joy and peace. Second thing, notice he says, rejoice in the Lord. Listen to me, rejoicing, how do you command rejoice? Because rejoicing has to do with control. The stability of God placing me in his hands brings joy to me. The closer my union is with the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater my joy. Abraham, you know, when he's told to go offer his son Isaac, that had to be a great challenge. I can't even imagine. But you know, you go through all that event. I don't have time for that, but you go to that event, and can you imagine when God says, stops his hand from slaying his son? He says, hey, over in the thicket there, there's a ram. Do you think there was a smile come on Abraham's face about that time? And do you think that affected his relationship with God? Because God was first in his life, and the joy of knowing God was taking care of every situation, that God, and joy comes in our relationship with the Lord. You know, heaven, I don't picture as a place of gloom and doom. Now, hell's not too great. But, I mean, I don't think of heaven as being a place of gloom and doom, boredom and chants and rituals and darkness. I think of a place of joy. The Bible says in Psalm 16, in thy presence is fullness of joy. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, he says, you're our crown of rejoicing. You know, numerous times the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. See, heaven is a place of rejoicing continually. There's going to be joy all the time there. And there should be joy in your heart here if you know the Lord. In Christ's earthly ministry, you know, if you really study it, there's times he's a man of sorrow, but overall, the time with the fellowship with his 12 and with people, there's a smile on his face. It was joyful to spend time with Jesus. That's why those disciples loved to be with him all the time. And they were amazed by some of the obviously by some of the things that happened, the things he did, but just to be around Jesus. That's why they loved him with all their heart. When telling of his departure to the disciples, he said this, get this, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I will overcome the world. See, the greater our connection to him, the more we're like him in spirit. The Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. And the secret to joy is to be under his control. Many years ago, in our church in Kalispell, it's one of our old auditorium. A man in our church who's, you know, blessing, still there. He had a sister in California who'd married a Muslim. And he was not just a Muslim, he was a Syrian Muslim. In fact, his found out later his brothers were high in the government in Syria, you know. And they came up to visit John and came to service. And it was weird. Sam, he's sitting in the back. And all during the service, he'd get up and go out into the foyer and then come back in and sit down. I mean, just went on and on. I mean, most people didn't see it. He was in the back, but I saw it all the time. Really strange. And understand, a Muslim's idea of Christianity is Catholicism. That's what they're told Christians are. And, of course, Catholicism's dark and chanty and much like Muslim stuff. It's just that he didn't understand about Christians loving each other and having a good time. The people came to church, they weren't there depressed, they were happy to be there. And he saw how everybody loved each other, and he saw the service, how we're preaching the word, and everybody's responding, and it just troubled him. And after that visit, you know, he didn't get saved, Sam went home. Went back to California. This is weird. I wouldn't say this is the answer to his problems, but because of what he'd seen and heard, he went home and got the movie Jesus and watched it 5 or 10 times in a row. He was trying to find out, who is this Jesus? And after that, he got saved. His brothers disowned him and you know, one declared him dead and everything else. And I remember going down and seeing Sam later at his work, and he worked at this place where they're all Muslims except him. And he came and hugged me, and they were curious and watching me. But I'm saying, Christians, your testimony of love and rejoicing has an impact on people's lives. That's why we have the Lord in our heart. They don't understand that, but they'll be curious about it. But rejoicing has to do with this control, this connection we have with God. I remember years ago when I was first working on wiring, there's a guy in our church in Longview that was really good at wiring, and he explained this to me. It was pretty simple. He says, really, wiring's pretty simple. You have a connection from the main box, and you just have a continual flow over and back. And a switch will turn it off or open the flow back up. So if it's not flowing, if it's not working, that means somewhere there's a break in the line, so the wire is not coming back to the main source. And that really made it simple. Then I began to understand stuff about wiring. And it's really the same thing with Christian. If you don't have a life of rejoicing, it's because there's some break in the line. Either, number one, you don't have the Lord, period. That's a clear break. Or, Christian, there's sin in your life and it's affecting your walk with the Lord. And you'd be rejoicing. When he's under control of your life, man, you just rejoice because everything's, you know, it's God's plan and God's will, you know. Some Christians can't seem to get this joy because there's a short or a break in the connection. Something they haven't given up. And God's dealing with about it. Or something they've let creep into their communication lines with the Lord. I had a window in my Ultima years ago that... it wasn't the Ultima, it was another car. We were heading back from Tacoma, back to Longview. And I put the electronic window down. It went halfway and stuck. And it was raining. Of course, perfect timing. All the way to Longview for 2 hours. We're just trying to stay dry and stay warm. It was nuts. Anyway, so I went back and I spent over 2 hours opening that door up. And finally, after all that, there was a little bit of corrosion on the line. On one of the connections, and that kept the window from going up and down. It doesn't take much. But if you have trouble with rejoicing in your Christian life, there's some kind of corrosion somewhere. You need to get that right with God. And also we discover here that rejoicing is a continual action. He says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. He doesn't say always. Did you catch that? It's an old English word. It's a better word than always. Newer versions, quote, they'll add the S in there because they don't understand what the word's about. Always has to do with time, which is good, but always has to do with time and direction. So throughout time and any direction, any way it comes, rejoice. You say, how can a person rejoice any time in any direction that life takes you? I like how 1 Thessalonians 5:16, a long verse, says rejoice evermore. I got into cabinet work when I started the church in Longview, so I'm a cabinet maker. And if you invite me over to your house, it embarrasses my wife sometimes because I'll go over and start looking at your cabinets. it's just a subliminal thing, you know. I have this to see how they're made. You know, I'm not looking into curious. I'm just curious how they're made, you know. The manufacturer, it's kind of embarrassing sometimes. And they'll look at me and I'll go, oh, sorry, I'll have to explain what's going on. You know, when Christ captures your inside, you just naturally talk about him. Naturally just respond and try to live like him. And it's not a super effort. In fact, it's simple when you're under his control and you're just happy doing what God wants you to do, you know. You know, your interests and desires are in the Lord. So you just act, you know, whatever the subject comes up, and somehow he gets back to Jesus, you know. And lost people look at you like, weird, you know. What do you mean? We're not talking about that. Well, I'm sorry. Every subject comes back to him. It's all about him. You know, it's your desires. You know, you have compassion towards those that don't know the Lord, you want to reach them for Christ. It just comes out because that's part of your desires. It's a continual action with rejoicing. Paul and Silas in jail in Philippi. The rest of the prison's pretty dark and gloomy. And what are those guys doing? They're singing and praising God. I guarantee that some of the prisoners are looking out the little gate and they're thinking, what's wrong with those guys? Well, that's weird. I've been in prison a lot of times, never seen anybody like that. They come to jail and start singing and they're praising God. And then they start preaching and just talking about the Lord. And there's the greatest revival in prison history. And from what I can see, the whole jail comes to Christ. And I don't think that was necessarily their intent. They were just happy because God was with them. And they had power in God's presence. And listen to me, rejoicing needs to be a continual action. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then sometimes rejoicing needs to reoccur. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Is God merciful to you every day? Yeah. Is it great to have a close connection with the Lord? Yeah. It's also good to know that if the corrosion sets in, that God forgives and He'll restore the line back and bring joy back into your life. McLaren said, looking for the bright bits in your life and making sure that you do not obscure to your sight the mercies that you have, and so cheat yourselves of the occasions for thankfulness and joy. I mean, some Christians live in doom and gloom because they cheat themselves from having a joyful life in Christ. Getting saved is the greatest thing in my life. I was thinking the other day, I got saved when I was 9. You know, I was a young boy. I knew I needed the Lord. But I see people that get saved later in life, and I think, it's great they got saved, but man, they missed out on so many wonderful things. I look at the experiences in ministry and serving God, and I'm just shocked how God's been so good and all the many things I've experienced because of loving God and serving Him. You know, we can rejoice yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's why he says again. What does the Bible says? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You say, you don't know the day I had the other day, preacher. Well, you don't know the day I had the other day. I told you a little bit about it. But you can smile and go on and say, praise God. You know, He provided and took care of us, and even though our clothes were 3 days dirty, you know. No, in fact, Brother Randolph and Mickey, she loaned Teresa some clothes, or gave us some clothes. She says, I don't wear these anymore. And Brother Terry, he kept wanting to hand me clothes. I was a little nervous when he started to hand me underwear, though. I was a little nervous about that. But hey, you can rejoice yesterday, today, and tomorrow, you know. There isn't a day that goes by that you don't receive manifold blessings from God. And the Bible does say, Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know? So if that's so, there isn't a day, Christian, there isn't a day that you cannot rejoice. When I was starting the church in Longview, and starting a church is a challenge, you know. You know, back then there wasn't support like there is today. I worked full time, and don't get my, I'm not whining here, but I had a rough day, and we're living on a shoestring, and I had a bad tire, and so there was a used tire place there. Back then I could get a new used tire for $5, and this place had used tires, you know, and I'm going to go get another used tire. I went there a lot, you know, and got the tire put on. It was my brand new used tire. left the place, got about two blocks down, I hit a road hazard and knocked a hole in it. And I said, this is not a good day, you know. And then when I went back and, you know, I didn't survive. No, God took care of it. There's things that come up in life and you always, God has a purpose and opportunity to witness to the guy at the tire place. I mean, you never know. There's a purpose and plan behind what God does. You know, and sometimes we have to restart our joy. And maybe that's you this morning. You need to restart your joy. And remember that God is good. And God is a blessing. You know, I've seen many quitters in my life. Pastors. Pastors' wives. Missionaries. Oh, those are the people. No, I've seen missionaries. They're a small majority, but yeah. Teachers. Ushers, workers in church, those who just shock me and give up on God and quit. But I'm glad that God never quits on us. They just, those people just succumb to the devil's tricks and remove their joy, and then they get discouraged. And I mean, I don't know what happens. Some I know come back. It's one thing about pastoring in the same church many years. See people get saved, get out of God's will, come back, get out of God's will, come back. I mean, they see some of those, you know. But, you know, God doesn't give up on us. You know, I mention this regularly, but Christian life is a distance race. And I've ran in those distance races, and I've seen people quit in races that I ran in. The Christian distance race is a little different. You don't have to be in first place to win. Just stay in the race. Amen. Just keep going, and you'll have victory, you know. Those that let weariness or discouragement take them down have forgotten to restart their joy. If you have Jesus, you got all you're going to need. You know, people that throw complaints on my running, and there's always people to do. Yeah, you're not doing it right. You're, you know, well, they throw cold water on what I'm doing. I just keep doing, keep going. Usually, those are the people that want to quit or they're about to quit. You know, just look to Christ as. As Paul said in Hebrews 13, looking unto Jesus, or Hebrews 12, excuse me, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Many of those people who attack and criticize those that are in the race of God, and there's critics out there, Christian critics, but a lot of those are no longer in the race. I mean, I'm just still jogging along. I don't go as hard and fast as I used to, but I'm still going along, you know. I just keeping on serving the Lord. And it's a joyful race. I get so many blessings. When we resigned and the pastorate back in September, I you probably heard me say this. People say, what's your plans? I said, well, I have my feet firmly planted in midair. I don't know. But it's been great. Every step of the way, it's been a joy. God's providing and God's given us direction. We're able to minister and have a part in God's work, you know. Years ago, I got this video. I don't remember where it was, of this guy who had a disabled brother who was in a wheelchair, and the guy was paralyzed, neck down. And this guy was a distance runner. His brother apparently had been at one time. I don't know. And so his brother's in this wheelchair behind him, and he runs this distance race with a strap around him pulling his brother. And he goes through the whole race, and the documentary shows him going through the race. And I mean, it had to be exhausting, but it shows him crossing the finish line, and there's a smile on his brother's face, and he's going through. He gets to have the victory too. You know, that's what's great about God's people. We're in this together. And that's why God set up the church. We help each other, encourage one another. No, I've never been to church and I left and say, man, I'm sorry I went. No, It's a great place to be. It's a fellowship of God's people, and it's wonderful. God, Jesus knew what he was doing. Does that surprise you? When he set up the church, you know? You know, if I didn't know the Lord, rejoicing would be a difficult thing. Because I remember, all those things are like manure. I remember years ago seeing an interview with, what's his name, that owned a bunch of, Ted Turner. Who, I don't know how wealthy Ted Turner was, but he was still very wealthy. At that time, this has been probably 30 years ago, but he was the guy interviewed him. He says, "You know, you've done all these things. You've had everything you wanted." He says, "Is there anything you wish you could do or have?" And he says, "I'll tell you, I got all this stuff." He said, "But there's just something missing in my life." And I thought, man, I wish I could be right there. I'll tell you, Ted, what it is. You need Jesus. You can have all the things in this world, wealth in this world, and all the things the world promotes as being bringing you joy. It doesn't bring joy. Joy is an internal thing that only comes when you get Jesus in your heart. Joy is freedom in Christ that only comes when he lives within you. You can try to live for Jesus. You'll not find joy. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, all those other, that's just not a bunch of things. We love him because he first loved us. When he comes into my life, he changes me, changes my want-tos and my desires and my goals. And knowing him, I have peace. Like he was teaching about this morning in Psalm 119. I have peace and victory and joy, all those wonderful things. As Jesus said, as I quoted earlier in John 16, he told his disciples, "Your joy no man taketh from you." Because they can't get down inside you and rip that out. You know, whatever happens tomorrow, Jesus is still with me. He's already won the battle. He paid the price on Calvary, and it's secure, and I can have rejoicing in him every day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I want you to think about this internally. Do you know Jesus? If you don't know Christ, if he's not in your heart, this invitation this morning, you need to come and let someone show you in the Bible how you can know Christ. A Christian, if there's not joy in your life, there's something you're not surrendering or something that's interfering with the connection line. You need to surrender that to God. You say, man, it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's probably hard for you in the flesh. But surrender it to God. Come to Jesus. He'll give you deliverance and restore that joy back in your life. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. I pray you'd bless this invitation. Lord, you know the condition of each one's heart this morning. You know us inside and out. And I pray that you, your Holy Spirit, would work in our lives. And Lord, you'd have victory this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Amen.